for the Brisbane International presented by Suncorp. December 31 to January 7. Tickets on sale now through Ticketek.
He's been a trainer. He's the best racing expert in the media. You hear him on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
What did he do
about
last year?
And I'm pretty sure he picked the first four for Triple M listeners. Richard Freeman, good morning, mate.
Morning, boys. And actually, I am a trainer again. And currently, back? I have the highest strike rate in Australia.
Yeah, man.
Hold on. Is that like
hang
for
on.
One?
Hang on.
What
and my
got?
Number is...
Before we get on to this year's field, just how much did you win last year with that four pick? Or did you just tell everyone else and not do it yourself?
That would be impolite to say, wouldn't
no,
it?
No, it really wouldn't, because that would make people want to believe you even more.
Oh, no.
Well, it was five figures. So it was good.
It was paying 26 grand or something rather than the first four.
That's so good. Okay, now we're very interested. Tell us about this year.
Well, this year, tougher year than last year, I have to say. We've got 11 imported horses, and a lot of those horses are, they're an even bunch. There's no standouts and there's no dropouts in that bunch. They're quite an even bunch of imported horses, which makes it very difficult because you've got to try and line up all their different form in their different countries against our form in this country. That is a real puzzle, but we do our best.
So, okay. Inside that puzzle, everyone's talking about, what's it called, Malamute? What's it called,
Marmello?
Marmello.
Bad horse, we're saying, because we want to back it.
What do you reckon,
well,
Rich?
There was a lot of, at the call of the card yesterday, a lot of people wanted to back Marmello, but the bookies weren't, I don't think the bookies were too keen to let them on. So, obviously, the bookies like Marmello as well.
Bookies like Marmello. Okay.
So, what's your process? Yeah. Do you eliminate the lemons first?
Well, pretty much. I go through and I try and eliminate horses I think are either will not run 3,200 metres or are suspect at 3,200 metres.
Good one.
I like horses that I'm very keen will run the full journey, because it doesn't matter how well they're going, how good their form is, how well they look in the yard. If they can't run 3,200 metres, you've got no hope of winning.
Just explain, everyone. That's cool. Because they could have run the Caulfield Cup 2,400. If they've never run beyond that, it's all a big surprise to their bodies, isn't it?
And they will surprise you. Some of them will say, hey, I really like 3,200 metres, even though I've never run it before. So it can happen. You've just got to cut your odds down, you know what I mean? You're just trying to minimise your risk.
Where do you go next?
After that, then I start looking at how good a form they're in. I like to see them with good trainers who've got good records with stayers.
Yeah.
Some guys just have like a Bart Cummings, have a knack with them. So there's a couple of those in there. And you know, then it's just after a while, after having watched, I think I'm on my 51st Melbourne Cup than I can remember, you start to just get a feel for what might happen. And I'll tell you about barrier draws. That is the greatest meaningless theatre in Melbourne Cup. Because they will win from anywhere. Yeah. And the only thing that matters with barrier draws is pace in the race. You can have a bad barrier draw from gate number four if the pace is wrong. And you can't tell what the pace will be until after the gates have opened.
Come on, Rich, give us the four like you did last year, mate.
Well, I think I gave you six last year, and four of them finished 1, 2, 3.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
What I'll do is I'll give you a number again. All right. Yep. These are mine. I'm putting in number two, Al Mandan. I think he's going as well this year as last year. He's just been carrying more weight.
Yep.
So put him in. I'm going to take the risk on Humidor. I think he will run 3,200 metres, so number three, Humidor.
Yep.
Marmello, of course, he's running the Caulfield Cup, was excellent, and he will run the 3,200 metres. I'm putting in number six, Red Cardinal.
Jeez.
I love Andreas Voller. Yeah, I love Andreas Voller as a trainer. He's a brilliant preparer of stayers, so this horse has got good form in Europe. Then I'm going to skip, go down to... Here's another one that I'm tipping will run the 3,200 metres, even though he doesn't have a huge record at it yet. Number 13, Big Duke. I reckon his form is better than it looks.
We love the Duke.
Put the Duke in.
Okay.
Now, I know that's a few. I'm going to throw a few more at you here. 19 single days. Mighty run in the Caulfield Cup. Another one that with no 3,200 metre form, but she's so tough, I reckon she'll run it. 20 Wall of Fire and 22 Rekindling. Now, they're my bunch.
That's eight.
Now, you can... I know, because a harder year this year. Six last year, eight in a harder year.
All right.
What do you want me to do with that?
I'll repeat them for everyone. Put them in a box quaddy or a box trifecta. 2, 3, 5, 6, 13, 19, 20, 22.
Marto, explain to them about a flexi, right, where you just
Mate.
You just have a box first four or a box trifecta for as much as you can afford, and that will be a percentage of the normal outlay, and they'll give you that percentage of the dividend.
And then it'll say, this is what the trifecta or quarter paid, might be 7,000, and that you've got 13% of it or whatever.
Correct.
Richard
Correct.
Freeman, expert.
You're a
genius,
mate.
Back to being trainer. It is always a pleasure. We'll hear you on the Dead Set Legends, we'll hear you on the M's, and we'll see you at the track. Thanks, mate.
Have a great day. Good luck.
Well, it's the race that stops a nation, but one man has to keep running this nation. He's always on duty. Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, live from Point Piper. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Ed, and hello to you, Robin and Maho. To everybody in Brisbane, good morning.
Now, will you be having, it is the Melbourne Cup today, obviously, the race that stops a nation. Will you be having a flutter?
Well, Ed, it turns out that the actual race that stops the nation is New Zealand, since Barnaby got turfed out of the hardcore. That's all right. Are they a race or just a nationality? Yes, of course I'll be having a bit of a gamble. I mean, that's what I do on a daily basis. I'm a gambler. I roll the dice. Most days, of course, it keeps coming up snake eyes. But today I've got an itchy palm. So here's my tip for the cup.
Okay.
Johannes Vermeer will spread the field. Take an exotic with Johannes Vermeer, the big Irish stallion, still got its tackle intact, and take an exotic with Labor to win the next election, and you'll get some good odds on a sure thing.
Well, with your government threatened, have you given any thought to life after politics?
Well, that's an excellent question, Robin, and yes, I often do. I think about it all the time. Everybody needs an exit strategy, and Christopher Pyne and I have decided maybe to go into business together after politics.
God.
We're thinking about opening a bakery. Christopher's a terrific cook. He'd be out the back cooking away, filling the pies with meat and hot gravy.
Okay.
And I'd be out the front greeting the customers. Christopher's even come up with a name for our bakery.
Yes. What is it?
The Pie Minister.
Oh, God.
Not bad, is it?
It's not bad.
Now, it's not just all racing and government. What do you got planned for the rest of this week?
Well, I'll be striving to find a resolution to the implacable situation we find ourselves in, so it gives me a chance to say resolution. I'll also be saying Parliament, Point Papa, reprehensible, articulate, reassure and ensure, and maybe I'll even throw in indefatigable and insurmountable. But I'm also looking forward to saying Usman Khawaja.
So what are you singing today, Rich Uncle Mal?
Well, because it is the race that stops a nation, it's all about the horses today, and I'm singing that great classic, "That's the way it's going to be, little darling. We'll be riding on the horses, yeah.
Wow.
Way up in the sky, little darling. And if you fall, I'll pick you up. One of Lucy's favourites. She loves it. Braithwaite on her.
Oh, of course.
All callers to our show today, Rich Uncle Mal, are receiving a horse in our Triple M sweep. So we've just, Marto, you've got the hat there. He's just pulled out. Which horse have you pulled out?
Horse
for Rich
number
Uncle?
11, Ed. Who shot the barman? Well done, PM.
Well, it's been scratched.
Oh, well. We're going to have to let you go. Have a great day.
Triple M rocks the cup. Good on you, mate.
Hey, listen, politics, state politics, I know you don't want to spend any time on it, but yesterday things heated up. Well, they became a little bit more interesting because Pauline Hanson hopped off the plane, got stuck into the champers, and then she had a battler's bus. So they're doing. She's not flying. She's driving from Brisbane to Townsville. Very smart of her because it's only old people in coastal towns that seem to like her. And she was ready to go.
Let's hit the road, OK? Let's go.
Yeah, what's everyone thinking, Pauline?
I think the people of Queensland are fed up with major political parties.
Listen to this old bloke. He walked in front of the battler bus and he just went, ooh.
Beautiful. Battler bus. Anyway,
to go. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Hang on, play that again. Was that a real person? That wasn't you. That
battler
wasn't you doing a voice.
Hold on. One more time. We won't
Beautiful.
Speak.
Beautiful. Battler bus. Anyway, to go.
That's his the driver? Is he the driver?
No, he hopped in the back. So you not only got to talk to her, you got to talk to him.
Oh, dear.
God.
Pauline, what do you think of the other two parties?
They have no direction. They have no leadership. They have no idea.
See? That's what she thinks.
And what she got? A bus.
Yes, she's got the battler bus. And she's got a lot of old people slapping her on the back, as far as I can tell. And Palaszczuk and Nicholls, they really need to communicate.
A vote for Pauline Hanson, One Nation, is a vote for Tim Nicholls.
The vote for One Nation will be a vote for the Labor Party.
Oh, you idiots.
What's a good way? On a day like that, it's a good way to have an each way bet. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I vote for One Nation, I'm basically voting for everybody. Well, that's a great way to cover the field. Fantastic.
Is that right, Anastasia?
I have no idea about that.
Well, I'll be playing that a lot of times. What have you got to say, Tim? Last chance.
I think it's already pretty grim under Labor and unions here in Queensland.
Anastasia.
I haven't heard that. I'd find that surprising.
Yes, right. That's it.
The we're end. Done. Cool. Thank you.
Now, yes. I'm more I am more likely to vote for that guy who's getting on the bus than those two.
I think we can all agree
can
on
we
one
just
thing.
Play
beautiful. Battler bus. Anyway, to
hang on. Beauty battler bus. What?
Beautiful. Yeah. The battler bus, the only way
so
to go.
So he walked he was walking across looking at it. He had a beard. Would that surprise you? A really long beard. And he looked at the bus because they must have said, how's the bus, battler bus going?
And so, he said,
beautiful. Battler bus. Anyway, to go.
Only way to go.
Smarter way to Robin. I'm Brisbane's Triple M.
Melbourne Cup Day. What is it? 100? Oh, don't even worry about what
157.
Year. 157. I knew you'd know that.
Robin, babe.
And what do we know? Everyone wants to have a bet. It's the one day of the year. But we've got an absolute expert. We've had... I think it's her uncle, Richard, telling us his expertise with his first four. But now we've got Emma Friedman from the Triple M Grill team down in Sydney. Yes. Hello, Emma.
Hello, legends. How are we feeling this Melbourne Cup day?
We're okay, but look, all the talk over the last couple of days, Em, in the studio has been between particularly Marto and Brendo, our anchor, about horses, numbers, journeys, distances, Irish stayers and trainers.
Geez, you're hurting my head already.
Yeah, exactly. Can you cut through some of the nonsense? Give us something that people can go to work with and sound like an expert right about now.
Okay, like if you're going to have a once-a-year punt, I mean, Richard would have spoken to you about box trifectas and first four.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty complex, right? I'm going to take things like down a level and just to simplify things a little bit more.
Yes.
I'm all about the each way bet, so choosing maybe two horses that you can have a win and a place bet on. If I were to do that today, there are three that I would look at, and they're probably the same as Richie's.
Now, I love Em does actually have her form guide in front
it's
of
my
her.
Best bets.
Her best bets.
Yeah, my best bets.
Her best bets, and she's got her pen out. All right, let's mark away.
All right. I tend to agree with a few that Richie would have given you this morning, but I'm going to have a few units each way on single gaze. She ran second in the Caulfield Cup.
Okay.
But one of the major reasons that I want to back her is Cathy O'Hara, who is her jockeys on board. She
Robin's
is riding sensationally. Yeah. And of course, a couple of years ago, Robin, we saw Michelle Payne become the first female jockey to win the Melbourne Cup on Prince of Penzance. So a little bit of a sentiment there, but also running very well.
Fair. That's good. That's good.
Okay, next one.
The next one I'm definitely going to include is Rekindling. Now, this is a very lightly raced European horse. Might be too early, but if you're going to have some multi bets, I'd be throwing him in the mix. Corey Brown on board there.
Okay.
But the other one that I do think I've had a win bet on the next horse. And I know I'm probably following Uncle Richie's lead, but that's maybe just the way...
That's the way it crumbles.
Wall of Fire for me, I think, is the winner of the Melbourne Cup.
Now, is this a foreign horse? Where's this horse from?
He is originally a foreign horse, but now owned by a bunch of mad Australians. If Marmello or Wall of Fire, these guys have shares in both of these horses. If one of them is to win today, Melbourne won't exist tomorrow.
Oh,
it will be burnt down.
It's a burn it down,
it's a burn it down situation.
Right.
These guys are off their dials. Like they own pubs and clubs and bars and they're advertising people. They're nuts.
AM, you've been in the racing game for a while. When did you and your whole family surrounded by racehorses, when did you have your first bet? At what age?
I reckon, Marto, this is not going to sound good. This is not a good reflection upon myself.
No, your family.
It's a family sport.
I reckon five.
Yeah.
Oh, bless. Did you win?
Do you want crayons?
I don't remember, Rob. I reckon my mum and dad would have given me $2 and would have walked up to a bookie with me at the age of five and I would have had $2 on something on a Saturday.
That would have been
in
the day. So they Friedman Brothers Incorporated days.
The FBI
you would have
days.
Been at the races with the fam.
Yeah, I was I wasn't allowed to go to the big days, Marto, because it was such a big work day for the family.
Yeah.
So we used to sit on mum and dad's bed. You know how you used to have like the really silly little TV with the VHS player in it. Yeah, we used to sit on Mum and Dad's bed and have a picnic on Melbourne Cup Day and watch the races on that TV, which was the best. But then I went to my first Melbourne Cup, which was late, probably about 16, 17. So used to go to the other days.
Well, you're going out there today. Emma Freeman from the Triple M Grill team, Channel 9 and Racing Royalty, thank you for your tips. Just last one, celebrity most likely to throw up in their handbag today.
That is a real good one. I would have said Karl Stefanovic.
Yes.
I think he's still in town.
Yeah, that's a nice bet. I'm going with Sophie Monk. My bet is Sophie Monk throwing up into the handbag after race two. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, guys.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Tell me what my task was again, Robin.
Your task was to make me a fascinator because I wanted to see. You are very handy.
Wow.
And I showed you my outfit yesterday. It's kind of a pantsuit with yellow as the dominant colour. And I said, can you make something? So rather than pre-organise anything, you would have been the guy that crammed for the exams at the last minute. You've been doing it this morning.
I ended up having to go to Redcliffe yesterday for a number of hours to do something. And I got out of bed this morning early, got everything out of my shed, and I hereby crown you.
Okay, hang on. Well, I'm going to have to take my headphones off and my fascinator, which I already have on.
Oh, you already got a fascinator?
Yeah, but it's not yours.
Oh, this is better than that.
Okay, I've got a gold one, and we'll have a video of this so everyone can see.
Yeah, you can describe everyone. So there's two lures there. There's a shell there. There's a Foo Fighters Sonic Highway. That's so the sun doesn't hit you. See that?
It's a CD.
You're filming that.
Not
all
in the case.
With wire. There's safety glasses from a building site.
There's safety goggles. Does Robin have to wear the safety goggles or do they dangle?
No, well, they're...
To wear the hat, you sort of need to wear the glasses.
Hang on, we're going to put it on.
I sort of built... That was the structure that I built the whole thing off.
$5 New Zealand.
It's the foundation of the hat.
Oh, the $5 New Zealand. And the peg was just in case.
Let's do the crowning. Here we go.
What am I doing?
You slide them on.
On it goes.
Like Miss Universe.
I took the hooks out of the pushing lure.
The prettiest bell at the ball. My God.
Wow, that's better than
This will be on Instagram, Triple M Brisbane. If you're brave enough to watch it.
See the pink things on the side? They're the little things that when I'm whiting fishing, they catch the eye of the whiting. So I need that. What happened there? Look,
so the hat's fallen off, but the goggles are definitely on.
The goggles have dropped onto her face, but the fascinator sort of landed on top of her head.
You know how people at those functions, Melbourne Cup function, the reason for the glasses, because they eat a lot of pastry and then try to talk to you.
Oh, it's smart.
That sort
it's
of saving really smart. Could save your life.
I'm just going to play with this for a minute.
Yeah, you do whatever you like.
Look, go to Instagram, go to our Facebook page to see that, Marta, because what do you call it, though? It's got to have a name, Marta. What's it called?
Well, it's got a seashell and two lures, and I've taken the hooks out of the lures. That's $9, too, those lures.
Send her a bill. Send her a bill for the nine.
The fishinator, I'm calling
that
it.
Actually looks quite good.
You've actually fixed it.
What Robin's done is she's put the glasses on top of her head, Alex Perry style, and she's holding up the hat that way.
And I've got a lure between my eyes.
Yeah, that's sort of Egyptian almost.
Actually, I like that.
Do you? Okay, we'll take some other photos. I'll check them up on Facebook. So I'm going to the Osborne. What's my challenge?
What's your challenge?
I'm going to the Osborne Hotel. They've got a big, thing going on. So do I have to wear this?
Fashions on the field.
Oh, are you going to take it with you?
Here's the thing. If someone gets a photo with me and then what posts it.
And you're in that.
I'll give them a $100 voucher for something.
Oh, look at you go. Well, hang on, be careful.
I don't know what it is. I'll come over and clean their and spit water their driveway.
Oh, my God. That's just because you want to use your spit water.
Yeah, well, think of a prize. If someone gets a selfie with you today, you have to send it to me.
Okay, I've got to be wearing
it. You're not thinking clearly, Marto. It's Marto, Ed and Robin.
No, there was a prize.
I'm Brisbane Triplets.
I don't How do you put a bet on these days for Melbourne Cup? Robin, do you put one off your boys?
They're requesting that, but I get so intimidated by walking into any sort of TAB. I don't have any apps on my phone, nor will I ever have any apps on my phone.
Ed, you've used the Courier Mail today. I pulled it out for you, Robin. What did I tell you?
I know, it's genius. It's got barcodes. So I just scan at UBet.
You got your horse.
I don't even know what that means.
Or you take a photo of that horse and you just scream.
The actual horse?
No, of the jockey.
I walk in with a picture of Almandy and he goes, on this, please. They're not going to know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
How do you put
a
bet on? Are you someone that has multiple apps? Do you actually have to go to a TAB? Are they in pubs? I am lost.
Each way.
It is pelting down in Melbourne too. I can just see the TV screen. Whoa, does this affect you?
Corey of Cedarvale. Ooh, what do you know?
Okay. Now, I know you've got to dust the cobwebs from the wallet.
Yes.
First of all, put MR, that's where we're racing today in Melbourne.
Ah, very good.
And then go straight to the race number, put how much you want to bet on it, fix it if you want to fix it, you might get better odds, and then bang, put it straight in the little slot, hand the money over, and then you're on. You're on for the Melbourne Cup.
Corey, if I remember correctly, Melbourne Cup, they've got their own tickets if you go to the TAB. That is just, you don't even have to go MR7 or anything like that.
Yeah, that's right. That only happens this time of the year.
Okay, I've got a question. What does fix it mean?
That's when you get it fixed odds. Like, say, a 10-to-1 shot might be paying $9 on the tote. Now it's paying, if you fix it, you'll get $10 on the top.
I'm just going to my TAB app on my phone. I don't know how it got there, but I'll show Robin what you're talking about in a sec.
All right. Okay. Well, Corey's been helpful. Does he get a horse in our suite?
Yeah, let me draw one out. Ooh, he's got number 2, Almandan.
Ooh, he likes that.
Down for the double.
Yeah.
Now, Christina is from Annerley. Now, Christina, we're trying to get a bet on today. Hello,
just
Robin.
Like a long time listener, first time caller.
Oh,
good
love
to have
that.
You with us.
Thanks,
we need some help.
Congratulations.
All right, Christina, the last gentleman, he was pretty good. He pretty well filled it in. But the people at the TAB or at the pubs are really friendly, and they've normally just today they will have people standing around, and they will help you.
Okay.
And so if you've got any questions, I've got a phone account, and even when I ring up, they're really helpful over the phone.
A phone account? So I can ring up and go, hello, my name's Ed.
No. Well, No, it's not like that. But but even if I get stuck and I say, oh, can you explain this to me? They will explain it. But normally on a busy day like today, they will have people standing at the pubs and the TABs or wherever you go. But they've got the three forms, like that man said. You've got your trifecta, your double.
Christina,
normal form.
I think it got explained pretty well. Can I just check something? You know how you used to have a heap of tickets? You used to have, you could have 10 tickets, 5 tickets. You'd fill them all out and then just go to the machine and go, and they'd flick them through. Now you got to go one at a time. Do you think that's slowed down gambling?
I do. Because it's coming in all automatic now. My friend worked for the TAB and she lost her job because it's all gone automatic.
That's a shame.
Christine, before you go, I've just pulled number 7, Johannes Vermeer, out for you.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. Hey, you have a great day, hey.
You too. Well, good luck.
All right. Now, Ben's from Underwood. Now, Ben, each way seems boring. I want to win big, Ben, and I don't know anything about... I do. And I don't know anything about horse racing. What can I do?
Yeah, the easiest way is TABs nowadays. You can just walk straight in and ask them. They have mystery trifectas, mystery packages. That way you don't even have to bother picking horses. So they'll pick the numbers for you through the computer.
So I can go a mystery trifecta. So I can go Almandian into...
They'll pick it. The computer picks it for you. So literally you don't even have to pick the horses. So
what if I end up with
mystery trifecta?
Hang on. Well, what if I end up with Almandian into Delta's team on The Voice? Like, I don't want to have to wait. Like, you're going to go...
Oh, no.
It's on the same race. Oh, yeah, it would be fun.
Same
okay.
race, yeah. So it'll either be a $3 trifecta, a $6 trifecta, or a $12 box trifecta. Yeah.
Love it. That's what I'm going to do.
They pick the horses that way. You don't even have to bother about picking them. And sometimes they can throw a long shot in there, and you can, which you probably wouldn't have normally picked, and that's how you can win a bit of coin.
Ben, it's your lucky day. Oh, I think it is, in my opinion. Number 5, Marmello. You've got the fave.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yes. I go in. I give him $5 and say, I'd like a mystery.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm nervous.
You've got to stipulate what mystery.
Yeah, what sort of
bet you want.
Otherwise, I'll hand me Agatha Christie novel. Yeah. So there you go.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
CSI Motto.
All right, clever people. I've got a question that I don't know how to answer at this stage. Talking to a mate of mine the other day, I won't mention his name or where he's building houses at the moment, but he's working for a bloke. He's a plumber. And he doesn't know. They're apparently down the coast. I hope I don't give too much away here. But I want to know, sheeting on the outside of houses. You know, like old Queenslanders have either chamfer boards or timber weather boards, etc. Some of them, of course, have cement, you know, concrete sheeting, etc. He claims, well, he doesn't even claim, he knows for sure, and I've never heard of the product before, there's like a 50 mil thick foam sheeting that they're putting on the outsides of houses and townhouses down the Gold Coast.
Foam.
And then they do this really thin cement render, and that is what's on the outside of houses these days.
Isn't that
a builder. I'd never heard of this stuff. I do renovations more than new houses.
It's not the stuff that went up in flames in the UK.
No, see, that's foam inside of... Yeah, that's virtually for decorative purposes. Okay. This is the actual outside wall. So you've got the plasterboard on the inside, then you've got a frame, and then you've got, he's claiming, 50 mil foam, which I guess takes care of the insulation. But he's saying you could punch a hole through a wall, through the outside wall of your house.
That doesn't sound safe. It just sounds like they're trying to mass produce houses and put them up really quickly.
Cheap. So I want to know. I want to have this solved because I've just had a look at it. Every time you look up wall sheeting, it gives you pillows and sheets, pillow slips and sheets. So if anyone can tell me, what is this stuff that we're using and what do you reckon about it? 50 mil, he reckons 50 mil
is it
foam.
Cheap?
Yeah, really cheap. That's why they're using it because the bloke who, I don't want to give away too much. I don't want to get anyone into any trouble, but he reckons the bloke he's building for is doing 150 houses down the coast and they're all with this stuff on the outside.
Well, we better have a look.
It must be legal, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, this thick foam that they're now using on the outside
of houses.
What do you know about it? Are you using it where you're working? Perhaps you've got it on your house and you think it's fantastic. What is this stuff? Well, should we be worried about it? Is it a quick, cheap import from overseas? Well, Ben from Kashmir. G'day, mate.
Hey, mate. How are you going?
You seen this stuff?
Yeah, on a Sparky and it's getting used all over the place. Funnily enough, not in the cheap houses. It's getting used in the really expensive bespoke houses that are getting built around the place.
What does it do, Ben? What's the benefit of it?
They don't need to use insulation in the walls on it because it's literally just a styrofoam like you have in those big Eskies that keep the ice for 10 days.
Yeah.
Except when this stuff's produced, they put a fire retardant in it. But the issue we have with it as a Sparky is it came to market so quickly and started going in everywhere. If, you know, the white electrical cable that we use in wiring up houses, if that comes into contact with the foam, the styrofoam actually leaches some of the chemicals out of the insulation on the electrical cable and makes the insulation go all hard and it will eventually deteriorate and fall off.
That's completely the opposite of what it's trying to do.
Ben, it didn't say, it was a plumber who I was talking to. He was going to even, you know, the holders for your downpipes to drill into it. You've got to use wall mates into the outside wall of your house. It doesn't sound strong enough.
No, it's crazy. Like, we have to mount electrical fittings to the outside of the house.
Wall mates?
Wall mates or try and find a... Before the house gets sheeted inside, is try and find a stud inside the wall and then use like 100-150 mil screws to get through the stuff into a stud. Okay. It's just insane.
How long have they been putting this stuff up?
Oh, easily 2 years. So
thank you, Ben, because David's from Mitchelton. Mate. David, do you think this stuff's been around for a while, do you?
That's right. The actual mouldings on the houses have been around for over 20 years. And the problem is, me as a renovation builder, I've had to replace jobs where the foam, one, birds can peck through it, and two, hail storms. It just wrecks the whole thing, and then ants also build nests in it. So
that's what my mate said. You lean a ladder up and you go through the wall.
Yep, that's right. So, look, it's a product that... years ago, it came in, but they were putting like a PVC reinforcing on the foam. But nowadays, a lot of these cheap, nasty project builders are putting the foam straight on with a thin coat of render. And first hailstorm that comes along, it's just going to puncture
it. Smash the whole house.
It was the bird. The bird was the one that worried me, David. David, I don't want to be sleeping in my bed. Next thing I know, I've got a crow's beak pecking away at my eyes. This is unbelievable.
Well, you probably will. Well, be lucky to get your eye. It could be something else, too.
Good.
Thanks, Dave. It's a worm? That's terrible. All right. Thank you, David.
Pecker.
Thank you, David.
Darren of Oxenford.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, good. You know about this stuff?
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with it in Australia, but in Canada, it's an extremely common product. It's usually done on commercial buildings. But often people, if they buy a house where the bricks look like, you know, not very good, they'll put this on to make it look fresh and new.
All right. Oh, they put it over their existing sheeting.
Basically, yeah. It's usually not sheeting. It's on brick, say on a little bungalow that's got brick.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. But putting it straight onto the studs is pretty incredible because you can go straight through the stuff.
Well, I think they put, because of the weather, the building is a little bit more structurally sound, shall we say. I don't know if that's the right term, but you have your sheetrock on the inside, and then you have a sheet of, like, a cement sheetrock on the outside, and then that'll attach to that.
Oh, no, not what we've been talking about. Anyway, we'll keep the investigation going. Thanks, Darren.
Thanks, Darren.
Now, is it time to talk betting? Is it time to have a bit of an intervention?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, now, because, Brendo, you're not even looking at me, because you're down looking at you. I'm assuming you're... phone, is it because there is, I reckon there's a change happened. And I believe that it's younger blokes, Marto, they're about in their 20s that bet a lot more than the older guys. And the reason I bring this up is because Jack, how old are you?
25, Ed.
Okay, how many bets you got on today?
Across the 10 races, I've got about 17 bets on.
Good Lord, you know stuff about other things.
Brendo?
Yeah, oh, I've loaded up for the cup, so I've got about $200 across the cup. So I've got numerous bets.
Know, when we think betting, we think TAB. I'm the bloke who still goes to TAB, and there's no one under the age of 60 and in a TAB anymore. It's you blokes on your bloody phones.
But you know why? It's so easy to lose your money these days because we're very tech savvy.
But have you ever been into a TAB, Jack?
Oh, countless times.
What do you go in there for?
Oh, it's just a good atmosphere. I guess.
Oh my God, you are.
Hang on. Let's just
establish a good atmosphere.
Let's just establish that Jack has a whiteboard for the Melbourne Cup
in his shed.
What's it got on your whiteboard?
Well, my best value on my whiteboard, race 10, number 13, Pedrina, which is running at about $7.50.
Mm. But no one cares about that.
Like putting horses? Former races, weights, jockeys, like you're mapping it out.
Yeah, so I put up the form guide and then I sort of map out trifectas, look up on my app what it's going to be paying.
Do you reckon other young men are doing this?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them are. Yeah.
How much time are you spending on this?
2 to 3 hours over the last... No, not a day. Oh. Over the last week or so.
Brendo?
It's a big week.
I honestly bought the paper on the weekend. I just love the Melbourne Cup. So yeah, when it's Melbourne Cup time, I light up on the Melbourne Cup, and the rest of the year, I may have a flutter here and there, but it's nothing like Jack. Jack's very far gone.
You and Marto have spoken about nothing else off air for the last week and a half, because, and then during footy season, all you guys ever talk about is your first try bets as well.
Well, that's very true.
Mm. Yeah, that's
it. NRL is different to horse racing.
There's a lot of betting talk going on. Okay, I've got a.
I won't bet on cricket.
Oh, why not?
I've got standards.
What? Oh, my Lord.
Jack, do you bet on cricket?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, can we just go back to the Melbourne Cup? And can we work out, give us your top two, you two?
Yeah, top two. Come on.
Go on, Jack.
Brendo.
Red, I'm actually backing a bit of a roughie, Red Cardinal.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
And then Marmalo to come
now
second.
You've got to do why now. Why?
It's proven over the trip. It's carrying 55 kilos, which is pretty light.
Queensland connection?
Don't think so. It's a
German horse.
Yeah.
No, this.
Oh, it's a German horse.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm interested.
Masters of efficiency. So
Brendo, Red Cardinal. Well, Red Cardinal, I'm pretty sure, is the same stable as Protectionist that won, I think, 3 years ago.
And you don't even have the whiteboard.
Hey, I won on Protectionist too. Plus,
pretty hard to engineer a horse though.
Melbourne Cup over how many meters? 3,200. It's won its last two at 3,200 meters. So Red Cardinal, very good. My roughies, I got Ventura Storm because Bossy's on. Ventura Storm knows how to ride a winner. And Single Gaze, female jockey Catherine O'Hara, I believe, at $51, really good rough.
Oh my God. Now hang on, you're married, aren't you, Brendo?
For how much longer, I don't know.
And Jack, got
no
a girlfriend?
No prospects at the moment.
Yeah, maybe get that whiteboard out.